In Matthew 1 and verse 23, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. When Isaiah prophesied that the virgin would conceive, and that will be a sign of the Lord, of the coming of the Saviour, he said, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. She didn't. The angel said to her, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. This is the logic. Jesus means Saviour. And Jesus, says the angel, will save his people from their sins. Here you have this strong teaching just before Jesus is born, when Jesus is conceived. And we read that he has a people, that not everybody will believe in the Lord Jesus. Not everybody will turn to him. And during his lifetime, there were many that didn't believe in him. Many that turned against him and they crucified him. And when Paul preached the gospel, as we read in the Acts, there were many who were against him. He came to save his people from their sins. And that's a wonderful thing to the people who feel called by the gospel, who know that the Spirit of God is calling them in their hearts to repent and to turn back to God. Because he is the one who saves his people from their sins. All atonement, all wiping away of sin is down to Jesus. Nobody can have that wiping away of sin without the work of Jesus. But all this was done that it might be fulfilled. Behold, a virgin will be with child, and we've seen the virgin, and shall bring forth a son, and they, that is, his people, the people who are saved from their sins, they shall call his name Emmanuel. That is to say, God with us. Jesus was made in all points like we are, yet without sin. He didn't suffer the same sufferings as we do, although he might have done in some instances. He suffered pain, of course, but the way in which the pain was inflicted upon him, crown of thorns, the lashings, the being crucified, the method was different, but the suffering of pain was just the same. Except that in his case, the suffering of pain was more intense than anything we would have to bear. And so it is with every experience of life that we have to go through. He's been there before us. And therefore, he is able to help us and to guide us and to reassure us. He is, in fact, God with us. Now, the name Emmanuel is a title. It speaks of his person and his attributes. And the Lord Jesus, we call him, every believer. Mary, the Virgin, calls him because she was ultimately saved. God with us. Jesus came to be God with us in the matter of our sinfulness. While we are yet dead in trespasses and sins, Jesus draws near by the power of his Spirit and shows us our sin, and shows us what he thinks of our sin, and shows us what the destiny of our sin would be, and pardons us from our sin. Jesus who is God with us, then helps us, sanctifies us, purifies us. We were like others in the world, such were some of us, but we were washed, we were cleansed, we were purified. And so it is that the Lord Jesus himself, as God with us, cleanses us and constantly works in our heart to purify us and to help us. He is God with us. And what a wonderful thing it is to every single believer to know that the person of the Saviour who resides in their heart by the Spirit is God. The fact that we ourselves may have the help of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ is the most valuable thing that this world affords. Of course, the Bible, of whom that expression was used, points us to the Saviour, but it is the presence of the Saviour, and that Saviour is God. Emmanuel speaks of Christ being fully God and fully man. He is God with us. We are not left on our own. We don't just have a kind human leader, but we have God, the Son, fully man, to help us. As I've said to you before, when at the age of 16 I was converted, and that dawned on me fully. That transformed me. There were a number of transforming factors that happened at this one and the same time. One of them being the wiping away and cleansing of sin. One of them being the acceptance of my person by God, being justified by faith. But not least among all those transforming things was the fact that I knew that I walked with God and God with me. That I had God with me. Not in the sense that the cynics turn and say, well, you need a prop, and they sort of cry out to God. I knew that God had chosen to take hold of me and change me, who did not deserve it, and accompany me through life and value me and all that I had been planned to be. Now, and the other thing that I certainly knew was that I was no exception. That every other believer shared this characteristic of being chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And so to every believer, Christ as Emmanuel, he is our Saviour, but as Emmanuel, he is God with us at every stage of life. But there is another expression in the Bible. Do you remember Emmanuel's land? Now, we don't live in Judah. And, of course, since 70 AD, the people of the Jews are no longer God's special people. Indeed, they were not ever since they crucified the Saviour. And their land has been destroyed and they've been scattered about. But Emmanuel's land is the heaven that is our destiny, the destiny of all who believe in him. When we reach heaven, it is Emmanuel's land. There we shall see him, the Bible says, and we shall be made like him. There we shall see the King in all his beauty and in all his glory. There we shall see the full accomplishment of his kingly power. Not a single sin in sight. Every sinner saved by grace, changed utterly, never to sin again. There we shall see the things that we can't even guess about now, but things which will satisfy the Saviour to do throughout eternity. And if they satisfy God's being throughout eternity, they will certainly satisfy ours. This land, we're just passing through. But Emmanuel's land is our destiny, the place we're going to. Heaven, if you like. But what the term Emmanuel's land means to us is that he is the king of it. He is the one we shall constantly see. He is the one who will live among his people, who will always be there with his people. He will not be less with us there than he was on earth when he walked with each one of us and was God with us. He will be God with us in his own land, in the land where he started from, in heaven, the land to which he returned after resurrection, and the land to which he calls his people, as he said, "I go to prepare a place for you." It's remarkable that the Holy Spirit grants just this once in the New Testament record to draw attention to that special prophecy. It was very limited. It only occurred twice in Isaiah 7 and 8. And yet the Lord, if you like, has highlighted this. And he's brought it out, and he gave it to be declared by Matthew. This wasn't something the angel said. It's something that Matthew, being inspired by the Spirit, says, that when she's called his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin, all this was done, that it might be fulfilled. That's Matthew's comment. That's what the Holy Spirit gives to Matthew to draw attention to highlight, to draw out. Nobody else does it. Mark, Luke and John don't do it. And it's just a small prophecy in Isaiah, usually mostly considered because of the virgin birth. But this glorious title, God with us, is what people who are saved should value most especially about the Saviour who has saved them. When he saved them from their sins, he's with them. He's with the church as church. He's with its individuals as individuals. And he's with them in the final resting place, which is the heaven to come, which is Emmanuel's land. May we treasure our Saviour as God with us, Emmanuel. Amen.